Thank you. All right. That's a great testimony, and that's kind of what I want to talk about is the opportunities, especially at this time of year, Christmas, December 23rd. So are you guys able to turn that PowerPoint on there? 2 days before Christmas, and I want to talk about the good news. And a lot of people, oh, there it is, okay. So people have questions about what exactly is the good news? What exactly does that mean? And so I kind of want to look at that and the opportunities that we have. I'm not finding it on my phone, of course. Oh, of course. It's the way it always is, isn't it? Well, I'm going to read the illustration that I have, and maybe this will help a little bit. So one day, a man was walking down the road, an older man, elderly man, and he slipped on some loose gravel, and he fell into a pit. And he tried and he tried, and he jumped and he jumped, but he couldn't get out. And so he finally just sat down, and certain people came by. Different people came by and offered comments on the man. No, it's not working. I don't know why. Thanks. So, a subjective person walks by, a subjective person, and he says, "I feel for you down there in that pit." And then an objective person came by, and he said, "You know, it's logical that somebody would fall into a pit." Then an idealist walked by, and he offered the comment, "You know, there shouldn't be any pits in the world. Why are there pits? There shouldn't be any pits." And then a realist came by. He said, "Wow, now that's a pit. That's definitely a pit." Still, the guy was in the pit. A mathematician came by and calculated how this man could have possibly fallen into this pit. And then a geologist came by, and he told the man, "You know, you need to appreciate the rock strata of the pit." "Oh, thank you. All right, got it." And then a businessman came by, and he asked the man, "So what exactly do you want for your pit? How much should I give you for your pit?" And an optimist came by, and he said, "You know, it could be a lot worse. It could be worse than this." And a pessimist came by, and he said, "It's going to get a lot worse. It's definitely going to get worse for you." A city inspector came by, and he asked the man if he had a permit for his pit. A government employee asked the man if he had paid tax on the pit. Of course. A liberal came by, and he says, "You know, this pit has a right to be a pit, and we should defend it. We should protect it." You know, we got caught up in that parade yesterday. That was incredible. We got to Medicine Hat, and it was, I don't know how many miles long, but it was awesome. It was a very interesting parade. So the liberal said the pit had a right to be a pit. The conservative said, a conservative walked by, said, "I just want to throw that liberal into the pit." Wasn't thinking about the man. So that's why I mentioned yesterday, because that was incredible. Very exciting. A Baptist came by, and he said, "Well, if we just fill this pit with water, you will be saved." A Christian Scientist came by and said, "You only think you're in a pit." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into pits." A fundamentalist came by and said, "You know, you deserve that pit." And a Pentecostal came by and he said, "Don't confess that you're in a pit. Don't even say it. Don't even think of it." And then a depressed person walked by and he said, "You know, you should see my pit." "You think that's bad, you should see my pit." And then finally, Jesus comes by. And what does he do? Like in the picture, he reaches down and he takes the man and he lifts him out of the pit. And I think that's really a good image of what the good news is really all about. Who Jesus is. He came down for us. He reaches down, he rescues us, he picks us up. And we walk with him and we talk with him. And so really the good news is a person. The good news is Jesus himself. It's all about Jesus. And so this year, I just pray that we remember that. And so you can see the hand grasping the other hand, and I think that's a wonderful thing to remember. Now, I have a picture of Michael Jordan here because I want you to remember this message. I'm Michael, and we have a Jordan here, and it's December 23, and when I thought about that I was going to be speaking on December 23rd, I thought, well, that's the first number I thought of, Michael Jordan, number 23. Yes. He's, of course, Michael Jordan carried the ball, delivered the ball, passed the ball, and the points, two simple points today, carrying the good news, which we all do, and which Mary did in a very real physical way, but also all the information that she had, everything she knew, and then delivering the good news, which we are asked to do. And especially at this time of year, what an opportunity we have to deliver that, to give people the good news, to share Jesus with people. So those are my two notes, very simple. And I'm going to read the traditional Christmas story, but I want you to think about, you know, where Mary and Joseph were at like 2 days before Jesus was born, what they were thinking, what did they know, what were they carrying? And it just makes me wonder. Of course, we don't know for sure what they were thinking about, what they knew for sure, but we have some ideas. And so anyway, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who had pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So I don't know if she knew it would be in 2 days, but she was expecting a child. And I like the fact that they went together. Of course, they had to be together. Joseph had already taken Mary to be his own. And so they were together. Now, in Asian cultures, I know I spent 7 years in China, so I know Asian cultures, people love to be together every time, breakfast, lunch, dinner, evening, nap time, whatever it is. They want to be together all the time. Me, you know, us in the West, and me particularly, we're very individualistic and very separated. I guess I can't speak for everybody, but at times like this, Christmas, you know, holidays, where people are together, we really need to take advantage of that and grab that opportunity, because we're a little different here in the West. Maybe some of you love the crowds, love the noise. I'm not that kind of guy. I go places where there's nobody else there just because there's nobody else there, generally. But we really need to take the opportunity this year. And so they were together. So the question is, what did Joseph know? Well, in Matthew 1, he had a dream and the Lord spoke to him. We don't know much about what he knew, but the Lord said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This thing is of the Holy Spirit, and you will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, which means in Greek, the Lord saves. And he will save his people from their sins. So that's basically what Joseph knew. Now, Mary, Gabriel had appeared to Mary and spoken to her, and she knew quite a bit. It's incredible, the information that she received from Gabriel. And so in Luke chapter 1, if you just go back a chapter, I don't have it up here, but if you go back a chapter, I'm just going to paraphrase. So Gabriel said to her that she was highly favored. You know, I think about when Gabriel spoke to Daniel, he said, you are highly esteemed. Incredible. I mean, to hear something like that from one of the archangels, you are highly esteemed, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. You will have a son, you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will sit on the throne of his father David. So that's a Messiah thing. That's a Savior thing. She's got to realize what that's all about when he says that. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. forever. Like, this is not a time, there's no time restraints on this young man, this boy. Forever, he will reign forever. His kingdom will never end. And this is what she's learning about her baby. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Lord will overshadow you. The one born to you will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Wow. The Son of God. I don't know what she thought. I don't know where her theology was. But the Son of God, wow. And the Lord said, no word from God could ever fail. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. And he even mentioned Elizabeth, her relative, who people said, who was barren, but now is in her 6th month. And so Gabriel was telling her about Elizabeth. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Just a submitting, a believing, a trusting, just submitting. And so she went to visit Elizabeth, and when she saw Elizabeth, Elizabeth's baby, now in the 6th month, leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, what an incredible experience so far. And Elizabeth says to her, blessed are you and the child you will bear. And Elizabeth refers to her as the mother of our Lord, the mother of my Lord. Well, I mean, if you just think about these things very, very slowly and take your time to think about it, it's incredible what she knew. And then Elizabeth says to her, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is her who has believed. Of course, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, now 6 months without speaking. I don't know if Elizabeth enjoyed that or not. But 6 months without speaking. He was silent because he had not believed the message. But so Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she who has believed the message. And what the Lord said will be accomplished. And now Mary begins to prophesy. Now she begins to sing the song. All generations will call me blessed. So she has an idea that in the future, generation after generation will realize what an awesome thing is happening. She realizes it's incredible what she knows, what she's thinking. It's amazing. And she says, he has helped Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So now I get a sense from this that she knew the scriptures very well. I think there's a good reason why God chose Mary. There's a very good reason why she was chosen. And now she knows about the promises to Abraham and his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophecies, all the promises. And so she's excited about it. She's connecting this baby with Scripture now. Now Scripture's becoming involved, and she's believing that she's fulfilling literal Scripture, which is just an awesome, awesome thing. And I guess I get carried away when I talk about it a little bit. And so, I'm wondering, I'm sure there's a pretty good chance that she realized Isaiah 7:14, which we read also in Matthew 1:22-23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child. Wow. The virgin will be. So she's reading this in the Old Testament, in the scriptures. The virgin will be with child. And I wonder if she's thinking, okay, this is me. This is me in the Bible. But if you open the Bible and say, oh, and Kevin Martin will do this in 2019. Wow. Maybe they meant the curler and not you. Incredible, though, to see yourself in Scripture. Of course, when we share the good news, when we deliver the good news, we are fulfilling Scripture because the church is certainly in Scripture, and the world becomes more and more filled with the presence and the glory of the Lord. And so we do fulfill Scripture. But this is very literal. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. I think there's really my theme today, this morning, is God with us. That's the good news. And I think we sang about it earlier, your presence being with us, being near us, walking with us. This is something you can share with people. This is something you can deliver. It's a walking, talking relationship. It's not a bunch of you know, theology where, you know, the virgin birth and the Trinity and heaven and hell and all that. This is a real person that you can walk with and talk with, God with us, and that's really good news. And then I wonder about Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Her baby will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow, just incredible. I'm sure she knew these things. Just incredible. And so that is, it's so amazing to me. And so this is what she was carrying. This is the information that she had. Even this, I'm wondering now, 2 days before Jesus is born in Bethlehem, whether it was a house or a stable or a cave, I don't really know, and it doesn't matter. But there they are. And Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. So this baby is from everlasting and will reign for everlasting. No beginning, no end. And here she is in Bethlehem with this child, with a soon-to-be child. From days of eternity. Incredible. So this is the thing she was carrying. And I wonder who she talked to about it. I don't really know. But awesome, awesome things. So what do we know? I guess the question is, what do we know? Now, we know all these things that Mary knew, but we actually know so much more. We actually have so much information and experience that we are carrying with us. And we're very good at carrying things, I think, especially in the West, very good at carrying information, very good at carrying knowledge and experience. But we're not always so good at actually releasing that, letting that go, delivering that, giving that out. And at Christmas, what an opportunity we have. You know, Mary didn't know about the miracles that were going to happen after that. She didn't know about the cross and the fact that her son would defeat Satan, death and hell and the grave. She didn't realize about eternal life. Or relationship with the Lord, walking with him, talking with him spiritually. She didn't know about the church and how the church would overtake the world and grow and continues to grow all over the world, except in North America and Europe, but that's going to change too, I believe. Amen. She didn't know that the Lord was going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on a white horse with armies behind him, landing, coming down on the Mount of Olives, splitting it apart, and ruling and judging the nation, judging Israel, judging the nation, casting people into hell, condemning people to eternities either in glory or in hell, or even casting the enemy into a pit. There's a pit for you, one you can't get out of unless the Lord reaches down, but I don't think he's going to help him out of that one. And then glory forever. So these are things that we know that Mary didn't know at that time. Of course, she knows them now. She probably knows a lot more than, I'm sure she knows a lot more than we do right now, but those are things she did not know. And so, I don't want to say we have a responsibility, but what a burden, what a gift. How wonderful it is to have that and to share that with other people, especially at Christmas time. I just want to spur you on, I guess, today to share with people, friends, relatives at this time of year. Esther and I, we were privileged enough to be invited to a house meeting in Medicine Hat last Tuesday, and there were some very high-level leaders there in this large house. There was people that had been with YWAM since the beginning and walked with Lauren Cunningham through the setting up. There was David Damian, who now runs Watchmen for the Nations. He's leading that. Incredible what they do around the world and meet. There was an older couple there that works with the main house church leaders in China, the five main leaders, and I don't dare mention the names. And what an awesome meeting. And so we just sat around, and these people shared it. They delivered the good news, the wonderful things that were happening around the world. And wow, what a feeling. It's so good, not just for unbelievers, it's so good to share. Anytime you have good news, to share that. I think Jesus said that, share the good news with your teachers, share the good news with each other. You have an opportunity, really a responsibility, to do that. David, he said one interesting thing. He said he felt like the Lord was saying to him, as it was in the beginning, so it will be at the end. And he was talking about the wise men. The wise men declared the first coming of the king, the first coming of Jesus. They signaled it. They heralded his coming. He says this is going to be the same way. Wise men from the east, most notably China, but you know, great things are happening all over the world, are going to herald the second coming. They're going to announce the second coming. They're going to bring, let everybody know about that. I thought, wow, that's great. Yeah, I love hearing things like that. So very exciting. So that's what was happening. And so that's point number one, carrying the good news. A lot of good news, a lot of information, a lot of wonderful things that we know. Number two, delivering the good news. Now, I have to ask, I just have to wonder, who did Mary and Joseph tell? Now, I know at first they couldn't really tell anybody because, of course, she would have been in trouble. I think that after Joseph took her to be his wife, then I think they were a little more free and safe to tell people. But still, I think to tell anybody these things, you know, you get the feeling that people will call you, you know, crazy, like you're nuts, right? To tell people these things. I think we all feel like that. Maybe out of fear, maybe out of the fact that it was too wonderful. I don't really know. And then I wonder, who do we tell? And then why do we tell them or why don't we? A number of years ago, I was on Facebook, like just about everybody else. And it was fun for a while. I was searching out people, finding all my high school buddies. But I didn't want to just talk about normal things. I wanted to, you know, add some salt, add some spiritual flavor to the conversation. So I would say things, and one after one, people got mad at me, people got upset with me, and they shut me off, and I was losing friends. I was losing friends faster than I could shake a stick. And it was, at that time, I decided, okay, I'm going to stop doing this because people are getting mad at me, and I don't know if it was worth it at the time. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped. I don't know. I really don't know, but it was very frustrating, and I think we all have that feeling. I'm going to tell somebody something, they're going to be mad, they're going to be upset, they're going to shut me off, and that'll be it. And I think maybe Mary and Joseph felt like that. I think we feel like that quite a bit, and maybe that's why, one of the reasons, we're not so good at delivering the good news like maybe we should. I love this passage in Jeremiah. Love this, because this is how I feel. Maybe this is how we feel a lot of times. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach. Ridicule, mocking, insult, reproach, all day long. But if I say, but, I love that, but, you know, it doesn't matter. But I still have to say it. If I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I can't hold it in. I have to speak. I speak, I get in trouble, but I speak. That's just the way it is. People get mad, they get mad. Imagine Mary saying, no, I'm not going to have this baby. No, I'm not going to do it. Imagine ladies saying no, although I'm sure many times you wanted to say no. But imagine Peter and Cornelius. Peter travels 2 days to speak to these people who called him, and they're sitting there, and they're saying, okay, brother, tell us, what do you have for us? And he says, I'm not going to do it. Forget it. I'm not going to say anything. Forget it. Or missionaries. You know, we spent 7 years in China, and people have spent time in places. You can't imagine going there and then not saying anything, not doing anything. It seems strange. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he said there was great opposition to what he was doing, so he stayed longer. He had a different attitude. There's trouble. They don't like me, so I'm staying longer. And so, you know, I think there's a balance between making people mad and not making them mad. But I think we have to be honest with ourselves and share whatever the Lord has. That's really what we need to talk about. Even Jonah, who had a word for the people and then took off in the other direction and jumped on a boat. And then, of course, eventually he got thrown into the ocean and a fish dragged him back. And he still had to deliver that. Well, the word's going to get delivered. So we might as well deliver it. Amen. All right. So I have a picture here. I don't know if any of you know who this might be. Anybody read the news lately about a missionary, American missionary? So John Allen Chaw, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, American missionary. So in the middle of November this year, he was in India, and he desperately wanted to bring the gospel to a certain group of people on North Sentinel Island, which is just off the coast of India. But these people are very hostile. They resist outsiders completely, and they kill everybody who goes there. They shoot arrows at the helicopters, and they throw spears at boats and things like that. I mean, they're totally against anything like that. And so he knew that this is dangerous, extremely dangerous. And of course, it's forbidden. You're not even supposed to be going there. But for 2 days, at first, he circled around the island with a boat, and he shouted out scriptures to them. And then I guess he decided it was time to move in. And so he went in, and yes, they killed him immediately. They killed him immediately as soon as he got there, because that's the kind of people they are. But he knew, and this is what he wrote before he went, which is incredible. "Don't retrieve my body. This is not a pointless thing. The eternal lives of this tribe is at hand." Wow. Apparently he was a nice guy, but passionate for the Lord, and he had a fire in his bones. He had a desire. He knew how important it was to deliver this message, and so he went. So who knows? Was he right? Was he wrong? I mean, I think something good's probably going to come of that. I'm guessing. I'm sure it will. The Lord will see that. He will bless that. He knows what he went through. I guess only God knows. And so this is what he said. So maybe it's not always easy, but it is always good news. It's always good news. It's not always easy. You know, people love good news. People love real good news. We teach English at JBS. The best part of the job is when we get to tell the students that they passed the big test. The big test so that they can bring their families, they can become permanent residents. You know, when we tell them that, there's a lot of tears. There's a lot of joy. There's laughing. There's hugging. You know, it's the best part of the job is to be able to tell people the good news. Imagine, say, if you won a lottery. I'm not saying play the lottery. I'm not saying. But imagine if you were out, say, you were checking your ticket, and it was a jackpot, and maybe your wife or husband's at home. Would you, like, get him back in the car and drive home and tell them? Or would you get your phone and try to get it to work, and would you tell them right away? I think, you know, I would try to get the phone to work. I probably wouldn't. And I'd have a terrible time with it. And I'd be freaking out. And I'd be so afraid what to do with that ticket. The gospel is so much better news than that. So much better. So much eternal. So much bigger than that. And I think that's something we really need to share. Sir, some people will not receive it well. To some people, we are the fragrance of life. To some people, Paul said, the fragrance of death. Some are being saved, some are not. But we don't know who they are. We don't know which one is which. We just don't. Most of the time. Usually all the time. And so we need to share that. And sometimes we wonder after bad results, is it good? But yes, the gospel is always good. Jesus is always good. It's always good to talk about him. Okay. Romans 10. Great classic verse. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful. When you're carrying good news, you have beautiful feet. And the rest of you too. Because you're carrying good news, amen. Not just your feet. But really, how are they going to call on somebody if they don't hear about it? How can they hear unless you say something? right? Or even do something, you know, with the baking and stuff. But it's so important to deliver that, to deliver the good news. And so, we'll go back to our story, back to Luke chapter 2. That was quite a detour. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There's three very good points here that the angel makes about sharing the good news. Very good points. And they're very simple points. Do not be afraid. Good news has to do with great joy. And it's for all the people. Not just some of the people. It's for all the people. You know, I think Mary probably was afraid when she first talked to Gabriel. And I think we are afraid when we think about what you have to do, what you have to say, how you have to share the Lord. Sometimes, you know, you're maybe even shaking. You're kind of messed up when you're sharing Jesus. I'm just guessing. I know for me. And somebody might ask, "So, will I become like you?" Yes, yes. Well, then forget it. Something like that. So, it's not always easy, but you can get through it. So, we got to remember that there's truth in the hearts of people. God has set truth into people's hearts. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when you share the truth, there's a clicking there. Even though they might not admit it, realize it, it's there. And it will connect in most cases. Sometimes I wonder if we're afraid of the responsibility. Well, this person's probably going to get saved. Then I'm going to have to like be with them every other day, and I'm going to have to take them to church and lunch and do things with them. It's a strange thing to say, but sometimes I think we're worried about the awesomeness of what God's going to do. Oh, God's going to reach into the rest of the family, and they're going to do all kinds of things. That's going to take a lot of time and a lot of, you know. Sometimes you're just afraid that His glory's going to come down. I know this is the weirdest thing, but I'm just trying to think why. What are we so worried about? Because we know God wants to do stuff. And we know He probably will do stuff. And I think, you know, if you're not a pastor, because that's what you do, maybe we're worried about the responsibility sometimes. But the Lord will take care of it. If people start to get saved, He's gonna organize. He's going to set it up. Things are going to happen. We can all do our part. He's not the God of disorder. He's the God of order. And things will work out. I know they will. Also, good news of great joy. In Luke, the word joy, which is the Greek word chera, always has to do with salvation. Whenever there's joy mentioned, there's salvation mentioned. So joy and salvation go together. And this should be a happy thing. This should be not a nerve-wracking thing, but a happy, rejoicing kind of a thing. You know, I get so upset with the news. The news these days is not news anymore. I don't know when it stopped being news. But the news used to be, what happened? Okay, tell me what happened. Or what's happening now? But now it's opinion. I think this is happening. Or we think this might happen. Or this is happening because. So now it's all opinion. You know, and pardon my harshness, but I don't care what you think. I just want to know what's happening. Don't tell me what you think because I don't care. I just don't care. I've gone through so many news apps. I delete them and I take them back because I want to hear the news desperately. But I delete them. I get so upset. And they have to have agendas. You have to attack this person and that person. And it's the same with the so-called good news sites. Everybody's got opinion, agendas. And I just want to know what's happening. You know, the Lord is doing wonderful things in the world. Let's just report about it. I don't know how that thing got reported yesterday, but I hope it was good. I didn't see it. I don't have TV, but I hope it was. I hope it was big. And so also for all the people. Sometimes, of course, we have certain people we want to share with, and there's some people we definitely don't want to talk to, but it's for all the people. It's not, I think you mentioned that. It's not God with me, it's God with us, right? Not with me, with us. So it's not just a personal thing. You can carry Jesus around, but He's not there just for you. He's there for everybody. It's for all the people, the angel said, all the people. Excuse me, sorry. I always forget I have the mic on. And then the good news really is a relationship with the Lord, isn't it? That's what it's all about. God with us, God in us, Jesus in us. Really, that's the good news. And I think that is something you can share, a relationship. Yes, there's someone I met, someone you can talk to, someone you can walk with. He's great. That's a simple thing to share, I think. Okay, and so we go to verse 14, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And then many angels, a multitude of angels show up. And they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom he is pleased, or on whom his favor rests. We sang that song this morning, glory to God in the highest. Peace to the weary world, I think the line is in the song there. So this is peace on whom his favor rests, or with whom he is pleased. Some versions say, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. But that's a little too nice, a little too soft. Peace on earth, goodwill to... It's true, though. I mean, it's true. There's peace. But, you know, the world's idea of Christmas is, well, let's do nice things for people. Let's maybe build someone a house or bring some food or take the kids out or, you know, nice things, help somebody. And those are all good things. But those things don't go deep enough. Those are not spiritual things. Those are surface things. And there's more to it than just things on the surface. And so if you really want peace, it's all about finding favor with God, being, you know, having God's favor, having God pleased with us. And so this passage in Micah chapter 6, so right after the chapter in chapter 5 about Bethlehem, we read in chapter 6, in these two verses, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? So, first of all, this is a point thing, a desire to make points, a desire to sacrifice, to gain favor with God through physical means. And then, shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So now there's a sense of guilt. So there's two things in the world. There's either you try to gain points, or you feel bad and you try to remove that guilt, the badness. So in the world, that's where they're at. That's where the world is at. And so either it's a point thing, but there's no points, or there's a guilt thing. But really, there's no peace in either of those two. Whatever you try to do to alleviate, there's no peace if you don't know the Lord. And so verse 8, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Humbly with what? To walk with God. That's what he wants. It's such a simple thing. Those people that are walking with God are pleasing him. Of course, Enoch walked with God, then God took him away. It says that Moses walked with, of course Moses did, Noah walked with God. People that walk with him. And that's where the pleasing comes. It's a relationship. We're not perfect. But he certainly wants you to believe that he's there, that you can walk with him and talk with him. And that's something you can share. That's really the good news. And so I just have one more passage for you. This is an incredible, incredible passage. So Moses and the Israelites are in the wilderness, and they've just received the law, so they're ready to go into the promised land. They're ready to go. And they desperately want the Lord to go in with them, of course, and who doesn't? And so Moses is saying this, but this connects so well with the message. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest or peace. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me? How is anyone going to know you're pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? God with us, so important. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Wow. What makes us different? How are people going to know that you actually have good news, that you actually know the truth? How are they going to know unless God is with you and he's walking with us, God with us, Emmanuel? The virgin will be with a child, give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, God with us. How are they going to know? It distinguishes you. It makes you different. And this is a good news, so you can share that. And people will say, yeah, you know, I think you're onto something. I think you're right, because I can see something different there. And so what a wonderful thing, and how wise Moses was to feel that and sense that, to know that. Great. Amen. Well, I just want to pray. I don't know what time it is. I have no idea. Oh, good. And then I'll get Jordan to come back up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for good news. I thank you that you've given us good news. Lord, you've filled us to overflowing with good news. You fill us to overflowing with blessings every day. And so we carry your goodness, your hope, your truth, a future, and a hope and a plan for us. We carry these things, Lord. We carry you with us. You actually walk with us and talk with us in a real way. We thank you for the relationship, but Lord, we want others to know that. We want others to experience this same thing, even as we think about Mary, how she carried you and how you were delivered, how you were introduced into the world, how you were brought in. Lord, help us also to deliver the truth, to deliver the good news, to bring you to people, to introduce you, Lord Jesus, to other people, and to see them come to know you, and see them rejoice, to see them laugh and jump, even better than a lottery ticket or a pass test. But eternal life, eternal destinies are at stake here. How true that is, Lord. How true that is. And so we just thank you for the chance, and we ask this Christmas for opportunities, appointments, even stirrings in other people's heart. We pray right now for the removal of those things, those dark forces that are keeping friends and relatives from asking questions and wondering. Lord, I pray you remove those things so there would be an asking, that they would ask the reason for the hope we have and ask any kind of spiritual question. We just thank you for the opportunities. And it's not us. We don't save anybody, Lord. We know that you do the saving. You reach down into those pits. You reach down. You pick people up. You take them by the hands. And you bring them into the light, into a fresh, open space. We don't want to be like all those other people that just make comments or opinions or give opinions. Lord, we want truth. We want to know what's happening. And I want to know why, and we want to know. I think you've told us what's going to happen, so we trust you for that. Blessed are those who believe what the Lord has said he will do. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
Awesome.